I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Your host here, Victor Ahipeni. Thanks for joining us. Today, we've got Troy Aswingyan, and he is a positioning and marketing expert and the leader at Legacy. And he's going to really dive in into how you as a speaker, as an expert, as even someone within your company can help position yourself for greater things. Welcome to the show, Troy.
Thank you so much for having me, Victor. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited.
Man, it's something that I guess, you know, other people that we've interviewed on the shows from speakers, they've all had to go through this kind of ladder of social proof. Like I spoke to Nick Bowditch, and you know, he leveraged off being the only person in Asia Pacific to head marketing for both Facebook and Twitter. And he said, look, yeah, that's the result that it got from everybody, is he was able to leverage and position off that and then use it in his marketing for his speaking side of things. But, you know, we kind of delved into a little bit on how speakers could do it. And I know this is something that, yeah, we've been talking prior to the show for, yeah, the show only was meant to start like an hour and a half ago or something, but we've been talking prior to it, and this is something that you've obviously got some in-depth knowledge into. I guess for your own social proof for everybody, how did this kind of come about, rather than, you know, just my introduction?
I love this. Well, I think it's interesting because what people can do is borrow credibility. That's all you're doing, really, with leveraging social proof, because I think the word social proof confuses people. You're just borrowing some credible insights that makes you look like a badass. So like with us, we would throw events in Winnipeg originally when we first started. Winnipeg, Canada, what up? That's where we're from. And we threw events there, and we'd attract people to a cause. So I think there's many different ways. Like we would bring Audi, Mercedes, there would be Bacardi as a sponsor. Because we'd have all these sponsors, people would associate us with like higher level. Just instantly, because of the brand recognitions that these brands have already built, because we would facilitate for, say, the whole experience, we would get the credibility. Now, I think there's many other ways to, I guess, hack and leverage this. But even, for example, my advertiser right now, she's built crazy funnels for home builders, seven-figure funnels in Vancouver. Personally, I haven't built that for construction people. So I leverage her credibility when I'm selling people. Yeah. I tell them about her. And it's like, it's just, I want to give, I guess, a couple nuances of understanding with it, because I think it can get really confusing understanding how to leverage it. It's just really looking at, I think, your results sometimes in a different light too. So, yeah, man, I could go into that one deep.
And how's your journey kind of from hosting some gigs, you know, with Bacardi and that sort of thing? How's that then led you down this path to, I guess, helping people with their own positioning and their marketing with it all?
Oh man, it goes so deep. So I think the fact of just noticing that the credibility worked really well was really exciting for me doing branding, because it was like, oh, branding's not just graphics. Branding is layers of communication, eliciting trust, credibility. I think it's helped me with, I think when we first started, we weren't really clear. We weren't clear on the direction we were really taking it with the service offering. So I think number one is, if you're doing events and different things to gain credibility, be very clear on your service offering, because you're going to, I think the biggest thing with this is managing attention. You have attention coming at you, and if you're not ready, it goes. If it has nowhere to go, it goes. It disappears. So I think like making sure you have an offer always, I think is really important when you're trying to hack social proof, credibility, different things. If you don't have an offer, it's like, hey, add me on Facebook or follow me. That's cool. But if you're not leveraging it and you're not actually doing something with it, it's just vanity. Vanity does not build businesses unless it's leveraged. So I don't know if that answers, but I think that was a big downfall at the beginning. But at the same time too, even you're in my connection. That's how I met you.
Yeah.
Young Entrepreneur Society. You're like, you guys are dope. What the hell are you up to?
Yeah, yeah.
And we connected and we just so happened to be good humans. So I think it's like a lot of it's a foot in the door. It's a foot in the door technique almost. It's like, look at us, look how great we are, and come hang out. And then from there, it's all relationship. I don't know if that answered your question, but I think
it's... Not at all, but it was a good insight.
Yeah, there's so many facets to positioning, and that's the thing.
That, when you're talking about credibility, interesting little footnote that I heard yesterday, Roger Federer has left Nike and he's gone to Uniqlo, who's Djokovic's sponsor as well, and which is so interesting. So $300 million, that's how much it costs for credibility. Like, they already had Djokovic, who's a big name, but Federer is the name in tennis, and now their clothing brand is the name in tennis clothing.
Many people don't know this, but guess who facilitated the joint venture between Dell? Bill Gates. Genius.
Yeah.
Bill was seeing Apple on the rise, and he's like, who can I make a celebrity? See, the thing about, and I think this is interesting, and I'm curious about your insight on this. Fame fades. People don't notice that, but when you have your time in the spotlight, it will fade. Over time, it starts just dwindling out. So with Bill Gates, he noticed that Apple was on the rise, so he pulled in Michael Dell. Michael Dell was a killer CEO, and he said, hey, you want to start a computer company? You build the computers. I house my iOS. I house my software. It is genius. So he gets the play of Microsoft backing them, and they just start a giant conglomerate computer company. Nobody actually... The cool thing is I've been researching these big companies. They all piggyback. They piggyback on leverage and credibility every time, always. If they don't, they're losing. So it's like that was like a huge for me recently.
Facebook didn't buy WhatsApp and Instagram just for the hell of it. And
there's so many layers deep to that. Instagram is the cold market.
Yeah.
Trifecta. It's the ultimate platform to reach a cold market currently.
Yeah.
I think I just started playing on it, and it's like nobody sees the layers deep of the acquisitions. They're way deeper than face value.
Yeah. And I mean, even WhatsApp was like 400 million contacts.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's so amazing. Like, I love this. I guess, that's unbelievable.
So when it comes to, so we're speaking to speakers at the moment.
Yep.
Or aspiring speakers. So people who may be the authority or an expert in their industry at the moment, and how or what are the first steps that they should be looking at from their own personal branding side of things before they even look at kind of marketing themselves, before they start looking at getting more, higher profile speaking engagements? Where can they go from there?
Vision, values, and morals. I tell everybody this. If you do not know your vision for your market, if you don't know your personal values of what you're willing to stand for and what you're willing to not stand for, if you don't know your moral and ethical code of what you're willing to not do and what not do ethically and unethically, I think that is a great place for somebody to start if they want to wire in their positioning really tight. I just discovered this recently because I realized I was making so many bloody decisions in one day that I had to streamline it. My morals, my ethics, my vision, my values needed to be on paper. As soon as I put them on paper, I realized, holy crap, I can make decisions like that. And I actually don't hurt anybody ever. I just now know where I'm at, and I'm grounded and I'm strong in my word. It sounds a little foo-foo, But the caveat of it is you actually understand who you are. You know who the hell you actually are. And when you do understand that, your messaging can become so powerful because people actually feel it. It's not just like lip service. It's like it connects. That was me slapping my chest. It connects like in the heart, like it actually connects with them. I think that is number one. I tell everyone we work with immediately, vision, values, and morals.
How do they then translate that to, they're creating their own personal branding page, their socials, their media kit off the back of it. Where's the next step or transition for them? You're saying being able to put that into written word or translate it. Yeah, it's one thing having it on a piece of paper in your desk, but,
No, this is a great question because I think it starts with the self, getting yourself clear on who you are, and then you have a brand that is also a brand. Now, I think there's different – now, this is just my personal opinion, and I'm curious because this gives me clarity on giving you the right answer. The way I see it is people have their personal brand, and then they have their business brand. So right now we have legacy. Legacy is our company. But I'm Troy. I'm Troy Swingin. People buy from me. People don't really buy from legacy. They buy from Troy, Troy the individual. But the company processes everything. So I think it's like getting clear on you first, on who you are as an individual, what you stand for, all that. Just like really knowing you. And then from there, understanding your vision for your business. And the vision for the marketplace of the business. So you do the vision, values, and morals, same thing in the business realm too. I think knowing your offer though, what you're selling is number one. If you don't know what you're selling, even if it's simple, like break your offer down to the core level of like who you are and what you can sell and what you can comfortably sell, just so you can start to gain more position. I think position comes from action too, clarity, starting to see feedback from your market, from how people respond to you, how, some gigs just don't work. And then you realize, well, were those gigs with a certain group of people I didn't like? I know we're kind of going down the rabbit hole here, but I think it's so hard to be laser clear with positioning because you have to get clear with yourself and clear with your business, but understanding that you're in this for the long run. Like if you're in this now, you got to stick in it because your position develops over a 5-year period. It has to. Everything changes.
And so what would you say to the person who's, say, out there trying to become a professional speaker? So their product, their offering is their talk, is their speaking. Yeah, they may have secondary offers, but they're getting paid to present, not necessarily getting paid, selling from stage or they might have a book or whatever and other things. But what do you say to that person when they're getting out there?
I think there's two ways to look at this from a corporate side. And I'm curious on your standpoint too, because like, I don't want any of this to conflict any of your info.
No.
But I think in a B2C world, it's harder to get paid up front with like just selling, business owner to consumer. It's harder to get paid up front for a big gig. Now that could just be my perception, but corporate is where they'll bring you in and they'll pay you something to come in and train a big group of people. So I think I think there's two models, and this is my personal opinion because like we talked to a lot of people about speaking too. I think there's the offline model of filling up a free room and selling a product, or selling a room and kind of doing a similar retreat almost. It's like a retreat, but it's just an in-depth talk. And you cover a lot of subjects. Or corporate, where you get hired out to train a room of 50 people. I don't know. I don't know if that answered any of it at all. So, me getting a little more clear on the offer too.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like definitely, payment's something I think people have to come to grips with. And I think understanding that in the corporate realm, it's not just like, here's a price. It's understanding, are they buying your IP? Mm-hmm. Like, can they retrain after your stuff? So there's a lot that comes in through there from, you know, when a company does send you out their first contract, and then you go back and forth, and it may take some time. But what I mean is, like, let's say I come to you, I say, look, I want to get out into the public speaking world. I'm an expert in, you know, botany, and I want to do more speaking in that space. You know, and there's events and everything. I need to get a brand around myself. So I need, you know, website or socials or that sort of thing. What are the common pitfalls are probably the easier thing on where people massively go wrong, more so everyone's brand's going to be differently reflective, but what are some of the things that you see people when they start trying to put a victorahipenny.com site together try and reflect them, what would be the pitfalls that you see there?
I think, like, don't make it look cheap. Don't make it, like, it's better having no website than a cheap website. Just especially if you're trying to command higher fees. If you're trying to command higher fees and you have like a Wix website and it says built on Wix, and then a $20 a month ad comes up, you look like an idiot. So I think pictures, like really high quality photography, is super important. Testimonials, of course. I think I figured out earlier to your question, I really want to answer this piece. Because now, start at the top with a lot of these people that, like, if you're listening to this right now and you're trying to get some gigs around, you know, whatever it is that you're a professional in, find somebody in your city that is highly connected in your realm and your area of expertise that's congruent. It doesn't, like, you know, you use botany as an example. So maybe I go talk to a professor that teaches a lot in that realm, or, you know, an association about that, or something in congruence with botany. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be direct. Maybe I talk to a fertilizer company, and the fertilizer company has a connection of a connection of a connection. But I think the thing about this is being a value, being a valuable person to people that potentially can have connections that you need. A big thing that I teach a lot of our people is the reciprocation bias. If you go first, they have to give back. So if you offer them help and you call them up and give them something of value, you ask after that and they will give generally. Sometimes it might not be of equal value compared to the time you put in, but I still think if you hit numbers, you get results. You hit 10 significant people in a main city, you'll find connections. You do have to be ambitious. If you don't like doing it on the phone, do it via email. There's always a way to build a relationship with somebody. And I think that pulling it back to your website question, the website's all visuals. The website's all visuals, great photos. Don't cheap out and make it look like garbage, but also understand that, like, the first phase of your website is trust. Build trust. When they see you, they want to be able to trust you like that. After that, you can start getting into the depths of, like, building out your email list and building out your, you know, your trainings and different things if that's what you want to do. But I think up front, your first main page, your first authority page is trust. So, yeah, I don't know. Long-winded, but, man, these things have depth.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, if people are coming not to see your business page but your personal page, they want to see – reflect your character. Like in an interview I did earlier with Nick, he was saying he speaks at, you know, traffic and conversion and, you know, whatnot. He wears jeans, flip-flops for you guys, or thongs. And a grey tee, and he wears that everywhere when he speaks on stage, or black tee, and that's what he wears. And that, he said, with the congruence and, you know, with meeting up with these people, or people land on your website, he said, if he was talking to me on the interview and I'd seen him speak and he was in a suit when he was speaking and he wasn't when I saw him in the website, or he wasn't when, not that you always have to be in a suit, but Yeah,
totally. If your brand's built around it, then you have to show up like that too. You have to show up at least presentable.
Yeah, and he said he turns up in his he turns up how he is, and he deliberately built his brand around that because, he's like, yeah, there's other people who are coming out in a suit, but then they're writing rants on Facebook about something that doesn't fit with a person in a suit, or people are judging them. You know, he doesn't need the hierarchy of being there, but he also
that's really cool.
Yeah, so I think it reflects when you go on his website. So I think that's probably another thing is, you know, don't
own your character.
Yeah,
owning who you are. I think, and even honestly, you might even notice, but one of my personal brand tricks was really nice shirts. I went to this Bali store, and they have Balinese batik. Most people in the West have never seen Balinese batik. They don't even have a clue what it is, and they wouldn't even risk wearing it because so many people are very self-conscious.
Yeah,
I just wear the flashiest shirts ever, and people know me because of it. They're like, oh, hey, yeah, your Bali shirts. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And it's like even downtown Vancouver, I would go downtown, and everyone's like pretty like uptight there. Yeah. And I would go in with these big, I wouldn't say, some people would say they're fruity, but I love them. They're designery. They're amazing. They're just like beautiful to touch, almost silk. And I'd go into offices and people would just be like, hey, shirt, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
That's the foot store. The conversation started and it's like, we went to Bali for 8 months. And they're like, what? So that starts the whole interaction. And like, if you look at Seth Godin, he wears yellow glasses.
Hmm.
Seth Godin wears bright yellow glasses. Go Google Seth Godin, the marketer. It's what he does. It's who he is. Sometimes they're red too. It's just that people know him for.
Yeah. And then I think it's about it being reflective of you as well. If you're the super introverted person trying to wear a real bold outgoing shirt and build your brand off it, and then you walk into an office and you're sitting there and the audio doesn't match the video, you're going to burn your brand because it's just people are just trying to figure it out, like what
there's nothing you actually even consider that, because most people building anything for anyone don't even look at the introvert versus extrovert. And it's like, this is great, this is such a great topic, because it's like there's a lot of marketers that even talk about they won't get on sales calls because they're afraid. They'll only close through copy. They'll only close through emails and copy, and that's fine. And it's cool because they're introverted, and that's how they figured it out. And I guess it's like, I'm extremely extroverted. So I would say to that, I mean, I think it's just like really, if you are, it's quality connections too. Really trying to just make great relationships, extroverted or introverted. I think at the end of the day, great relationships will take you very far.
Yeah. And I mean, if you've positioned yourself as that expert, if you can have a conversation with somebody, like there's extroverted people who are not experts in their industry and there's introverted who aren't. And so it doesn't matter if you've got the world's brightest shirt on, as long as it reflects you, and then you are that expert or authority in your industry. Or if you're an introvert, you get there, you're still going to wow people. Like it's like Tim Ferriss is, massively introverted and
Well, I think this too, because I ask a lot of people all the time, like, are you a video person or are you a writer? If you want to become a thought leader and an influencer, you need to know how to create educational content. The future is education. So if you're extroverted, create videos. If you're introverted, write amazing posts with great photography. Right? Like it's, the video is, the future is video. So you do have a disadvantage if you're not hopping on video. Yet at the same time, if you can't do it, that's okay. Because there's many other ways to reach many people.
Yeah.
Maybe you create memes. Who knows? There's always a way to connect with other humans.
Yeah. And that's the thing is get your content and get comfortable with your content. If you're writing stuff, then eventually when you are behind camera, you know what you're talking about because you've already done it. You know, it doesn't have to be a script, but then your confidence is going to, I like in public speaking, whether it's behind a camera, whether it's on stage, whether it's to small groups or to one another. Yeah. It's like riding a bike. Like None of us jumped on and were Tour de France quality riders. Like everybody went through the, you know, no pedals, no wheels, just, you know, they kind of roll your feet. And then they got into like, yeah, you get into a tricycle or training wheels and then you slowly work through it. And it's, my personal belief is, figure out the framework, figure out what the training wheels is so that you can start heading in the right direction. Then they come off, you can ride a bike like everybody else. Then how do you get from riding a bike to being like a moderately competitive cyclist? Because a moderately competitive cyclist is going to beat the rest of the crowd. You don't necessarily have to be Tony Robbins up there. You don't have to be, 80-20. Yeah. If you're better than the majority, you're going to keep making a lot of progress.
You're just a step ahead of the game. Mm. And I think that's a really big thing too, like with whether you're speaking on stage or whether you're selling someone a product, it's getting someone great results that will really propel you. And maybe if you're speaking publicly on a stage, it's connecting with their hearts. So it's a talk they can remember.
You're selling an idea.
Well, and this might sound crazy, but I was talking to a Christian the other day. And I believe, and I won't get into the depths of this, but I believe certain religions are getting repelled because the marketing is pushy. And it's like, invite people in with your heart and they will come. We don't have to talk about the religion side. I didn't want to get into that too much because
I've been waiting to write a post about why vegans and religious people are horrible marketers. Wait for that one to come out.
This is an interesting connect with it too, though. Like, I just think at the end of the day, we're all looking for connection, but you can't be afraid to piss people off. Because if your message is strong, you'll piss off the right people. The right people do need to get pissed off so they leave your realm. You don't just want to appeal to the mediocre everybody. If you appeal to the masses, nobody's listening. If you appeal to, a smaller group of the masses, a lot are listening. And it's not that like you can do big broadcasts. Like, broadcasts worked great in the 1980s. The world is like fucking quadrupled in size. Marketing's just getting noisier. So it's like connecting with smaller groups of people, I think, is so impactful, and really connecting, not just churning and burning. And like, that's just my opinion, but using influence to hack your way to the top and then really connecting deeply.
I say, you North Americans say, there's riches in the niches.
Absolutely.
Doesn't quite work when there's riches in the niches.
That's so true. Hilarious! I never thought that.
Yeah, so you can't try and sell niche marketing in the Southern Hemisphere. That's perfect. I think it gives people a good idea of like discovering their own voice, reflecting that into words, and making sure that their image backs up who they are and what they do.
Be patient with it, because you and I were talking about this on the prelude to even this call. I bombed 4 live talks before I nailed my 5th one. But a lot of people would give up on the way to bombing those 4 talks. Mm. And they weren't bombed, but in my own personal opinion, I don't think I did that well. But the 5th one, I knocked it out of the park. So it's like, stay in the game. Stick in it. Because when you stay in it, you get results.
That's it. So last couple of questions just to wrap up before the sun cuts coming up, because I think we've been talking for about 5 hours. What's the most impactful book you've read in regards to personal branding?
Oh, man. The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I'm trying to think of one that's really impactful, but I really want people to realize that your brand is a journey. The Alchemist is all about basically sticking the path and understanding that the path makes you, but getting firm in the brand as well and firm in your word. I just think it's, you can look at Jack Trout and Al Reese's stuff. It's a lot of like original branding stuff, but it's dry as hell. It's super dry. You can research that. I just think stories.
Yeah.
Like, stories are really powerful, and reading how The Alchemist is laid out is very educational to how you can tell people visceral stories and take them on a freaking journey. Like, The Alchemist, you listen to that audiobook and you are going for a ride through the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, on a camel.
final question, who's the person that you're following the most or getting the most influence from?
Currently Seth Godin. He has a podcast called Akimbo, and I've been checking it out. I really like it. And a thing about him too, though, is he even says at the beginning of this podcast, no, everybody told me that this wouldn't work, that this name sucked, that it stunk. Watch me. It's positioning. He believes in his word. And it's like, that to me is like, I like that. That's something about Seth that it's like very firm in who he is. Yeah, Seth Godin, he's my favorite.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. That, I think, is a perfect interlude into back yourself, even if others think it'll suck. Throw some mud on the wall, see what sticks. Your brand's constantly evolving. And, Troy, I appreciate you taking us on this journey. Where can people find out more about you or follow what you're up to or get in on that journey?
I guess check me out on Facebook. My last name's complex to spell. Type in Troy, ASSOIGNON. You can check out, by the time I think this is live, TroySwingin.com. That'll be live. AliciaRep.com. That'll be live. That's my partner in crime. We both run Legacy together. So, yeah, those will be live then. Check us out. Facebook's a great place to connect. You can check me out at trusted.advisor on Instagram. That's me. That's it. That's where you can check me out. Take a peek and look forward to connecting with you.
Brilliant. Well, if you want all of those in one place, plus everything we've talked about, jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where you can also get some amazing, if I do say so myself, public speaking training to take you from fearful to fearless on stage and in front of everyone. Thanks again, my friend. I look forward to our next catch up.
Absolutely, man. Me as well.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.